day before yesterday. So we discussed, we completed the first chapter about the story of Ajamil, where the Vishnu Dutas ask Yama Dutas to explain what exactly is your understanding of dharma and adharma, who is to be punished, under what circumstances, what punishment can be given, is everyone fit to be punished or only a few people. Tell clearly, what is your understanding? So then they very elaborately explained what is dharma, what is adharma. Veda pranihito dharma yadharmastat viparyaya, vedo narayano shakshat iti anushushtuma. What is it? So then they explain, you know, who are the witnesses, how they are evaluated, and how according to their intensity of sin.
I think it's too much echo.
I think you can reduce the echo.
Zero. Zero. Then what is voice?
Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. So and then they explained the specific case of Ajamil, how he had committed so many such sinful activities, but still had not performed any atonement. So therefore, it's appropriate for them to take Ajamil in order to purify him through punishment in hell. So why are you stopping us? This is where we ended our last discussion. Yeah, that's what the story of Ajamil. How he was a very proper Brahmana, but still he fell trapped when he saw Shudra and Ashudrani engaging in inappropriate act like that. And after that, how it transformed his life, and eventually how he had never performed any atonement for all those acts. So therefore, he is fit to be taken back to Yamaloka. This is where we ended last time. So before we start today, the second chapter, if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions based on what we discussed before, we will take a few minutes before we start this new chapter. Close it. Yes, Jai Advaita Prabhu.
Guruji, when a devotee, he does something forbidden in the activity which is forbidden in the scriptures, if he is a devotee, so does Lord sends him to hell as a part of purification? Like in case of Bharat Maharaj, he got another body of deer.
Bharat Maharaj's case is very, very specific. In Bharat Maharaj's case, the Lord personally had multiple purposes to accomplish through doing that. This is not the general course of action. Especially he got the body of a deer. First thing is, getting attracted to a deer also was orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. So because he wanted to use Bharat Maharaj to accomplish certain things, you know, through which he wanted to teach lessons to practicing sadhakas. So therefore, his getting attracted to a deer was also under Yogamaya only. Just like Arjuna's illusion, Arjuna Vishada, was orchestrated by Krishna. Otherwise, for someone of the caliber of Arjuna, such kind of questions will never come actually. Yes.
Sir,
Can you pass the mic, Mukta Keshav?
After Rajamil saw that scene, then he went back. So, what proper steps he could have taken, or what we can do? Generally, the solution is after falling down the holy name. But at that time, what we can do, or something like that.
Run to the Bakabit Vartmapagane, like that Raghunath Das Goswami says in Manasiksha.
What is that? Fourth verse, anything? You have the lokas, right? Fourth verse or fifth verse?
Asat Cheshta Kashta Prada Vikata Pasha Libriha Prakamam Kamadi. Asat Cheshta Kashta Prada Vikata Pasha Libriha Prakamam Kamadi Prakata Patapati Vyatikaraihi Gale Badva Hanyeham Iti Bakabit Vartmapagane Kurutvam Futkaran Avaiti Sayatatvam Manaita. So he says that Kamadi, lust, anger, envy, etc. He says that they are like highway robbers waiting to completely steal away whatever we have. So they are waiting with nooses, gale badwa, to put it on our neck and take us away. So there is only one thing that we can do. Hanyeham, hanyeham iti kurutvam putkara. I am going to die. In this way, shout loudly and try to catch the attention of Bakabit Vartmapagane. Baka is Bakasur. Bakabit is the killer of Baka, which is Krishna. Bakabit Vartmapagane means those who follow the path of Bakabit, which is devotees. So call loudly the help of devotees. Then he says that Avati Sayata Tvam Manahita, they will immediately come and save you. So for that, as we saw, that's why we should have sound proper association. You know, the internal wiring should be very strong. Only then, when we encounter such a situation, we'll be able to actually handle it. Which means we saw that if one is internally sufficiently nourished, both through his spiritual practices and through his spiritual relationships, then immediately he will confidently go and take shelter. But if he has not all the while worked properly on creating a shelter, creating various kinds of shelters, then suddenly when he is put into such a situation, he will hesitate to seek shelter because of many considerations, not wanting to be judged and in different considerations will be there. So therefore it's a we can't handle this situation when it comes if we have not sufficiently created the foundation for handling it.
So we see that in some cases one is like, let us take, wounded by such a situations. He have not exactly fallen down, but like one becomes weak, he happened to. That time, two cases we hear that. Sometimes person don't want to be around devotees, he want to be, because he don't want to face devotees. Not exactly he's fallen down, but another case is that, No, he are not, but still that internal, Radhayamru tells, that one naturally does not want to be around Vaishnavas. And second thing is that when in that, and another case is that one may feel, as we said, the judge, because right now devotees accepted me because they thought he is nice devotee, but now if I say that Hunter, I'm dying, so they may. He can observe that others are belittling him, so he may not reveal to that sangha how to like that. Both the cases.
That's why it's in both sides. This is where devotees' genuine concern should genuine and mature concern can actually help him overcome this, because they have to go out of the way to make him understand that this could happen to any one of us. It is okay. If I were in your situation, I would take help, and all of us are together to help you. So that kind of feeling he should feel, that is devotee's responsibility. Otherwise Kal Krishna Das would have run away. So see, the point is, this could happen to anyone. So while it is not something that is recommended, but still we should, as devotees, understanding that he might be prone to be pushed in that direction, but still understanding that so many years of sincere investment in devotional service should not go waste. We should go out of the way to create a proper cushion to bring him back. And so that needs a very just like this is a devotees need to be trained in this kind of things also. So one is to protect oneself from the influence of Maya, and another is sensitive dealings, valuing. So maybe in that case he might go further away from Krishna, he might go more away from Krishna because of insensitive devotee dealings than by the affliction of lust itself. So then in that case that would be a bigger disservice on our part. But if we act in a very sensitive way, then even that little slip due to that lust, maybe he might see us through our dealings, he might experience our helping hand, he might catch hold of our hand and come out. So therefore in Kali Yuga, there is a good chance that each one of us at some point might experience weakness. So if we all are trained to what if it was one of our brothers? Actually all of us are brothers. So but the point is, what if it was one of our brothers? We would go out of the way to do everything to maintain the relationship and, you know, settle him. So that should be our mood towards other fellow Vaishnavas also. Point is, still one reaches Nishtha, it could happen to anyone. So that we should understand, and accordingly we should help, because our response is going to impact the spiritual life in a, could impact his spiritual life in a much more profound way than the particular situation that he has put into. You know, the extent to which it can degrade his life in a negative way, our response could either further degrade it much more beyond what that can do, or it can actually act in a much more profound way, and it can just transform his life actually. He may make a mistake and come out as an extremely grateful devotee, and probably the damage has been done. He might probably even change his ashram, whatever. But he will come out as a very grateful devotee, learnt his lesson, willing to share his profound realizations with others, and maybe a great asset to the movement actually. If that kind of an experience he feels, just like Kal Krishna Das felt. So, while we ourselves should take care to not become Kal Krishna Das, but if we, if one of us falls into that zone, then we should act in the footsteps of Nityananda Prabhu and his associates, so that it creates a powerful legacy actually. I remember every single person who heard that first class of Puri Yatra, I mean everyone remembers that that lecture. It creates such a profound impact in everyone, especially in today's day and age where degradation is really the frequency and the depth to which Kali is pulling people down is unimaginable. So if we don't develop, if we don't work on this aspect, we will very soon lose devotees like anything, because the age is like that. So this is one thing where devotees really need training. Prem Gaurang Prabhu was once sharing with me that he met a, of course there could be different facets of the story, I'm not denying that. He was in Vrindavan, and one devotee he met from a, he knew him as belonging to a particular temple, and he had to leave ashram, or he was asked to leave ashram, whatever maybe the situation, and he was roaming around Vrindavan, literally begging, no way of sustaining himself, literally begging, and it was yatra time, and yatra time or something like that, and some other devotees from that particular temple were also there. Actually, Prem Gaurang Prabhu knew him, that he was there in that particular temple. But he didn't know him so much personally. But he knew some of these devotees who were from that same temple. He told, hey look, he's one of your people, one of your guys. He is really struggling. Can't you do something to help? Oh Prabhu, you don't know, he has left the ashram. You know, how can we even go and talk with him? You know, that kind of concerns invariably all three of those devotees had. So now what is his chance of, and yes, he might have made a mistake, but okay, he has left the ashram. But that does not mean as human beings we can't help that person. So of course, I am not telling that it should be at the cost of Janma Sarthaka. We have to do Janma Sarthaka then Paropakar, but this is just on a human platform. We need to have at least that much concern. If we can't extend that, then when we make a mistake, then we will be always fearful of making mistakes. This is not a very healthy attitude actually, especially when we become weak. We will go through extreme trauma actually, because we will not feel like taking help and it will become a problem. So therefore this is one thing where we need training in today's day and age, because the age is degrading at such a pace that if we don't create a culture where everyone feels strongly sheltered, then when he slips, he should feel very confident and comfortable to come and seek shelter. So in today's day and age, I feel this is the area in which we need to really work on. If we need to really expand actually. Because on one side we will keep expanding, and from the other side it will keep on leaking away. So it's like, you know, drum is getting filled and two, three taps are open and like that. So this is something we need to, I personally feel from my observation. Okay. So we'll start the second chapter. This chapter is titled Ajamil Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. It's a very, very wonderful chapter. So Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Evam Te Bhagavaduta Yamaduta Bibhashitam Upadharayata Tanrajan Pratyahur Nayako Vidaha. O King, Bhagavad Duta, the messengers of Vishnu, Nayako Vida, who are expert in rules of conduct, Evam Pratyahuhu, in this way they replied, Ata Upadarya, after hearing, Tan Yamaduta Abhibhashitam, what the statements of Yamaraj, after hearing the statements of Yamaraj, the Vishnu Dutas, who are expert in the rules of conduct, replied as follows. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, in the second chapter, the arguments of the servants of Yama are refuted by the power of the Lord's holy name. Ajamil repents and then ascends to Vaikuntha. Nayakovidaha means those who speak as persons knowledgeable of Niti Shastra. No purport. Shri Vishnu Duta Uchuhu Aho Kashtam Dharma Drisham Adharma Sprishate Sabam Yatra Dandeshu Apapeshu Dando Yair Driyate Vrita. Aho Kashtam, this is a calamity. Adharma Sprishate Dharma Drisham Sabam. How is it that Adharma has touched the assembly of the authorities of Dharma? They are just bewildering him. It's such a bewildering response. They have given such a comprehensive presentation of dharma and adharma, and they must be feeling really good, you know, it was such a comprehensive presentation, and they are like hoping that the Vishnu Dutas might garland them and you know, congratulate them. So this is like aho kashtam adharma sprushate dharma drisham samam. This is a calamity. Adharma has touched the assembly of the authorities on dharma. Yatra dandaha vrita driyate, where punishment is unnecessarily given. So yeah, definitely they would be feeling, are they really joking or pulling our legs? What is it? Are they playing a prank on us? You know, just like you know, this story from Panchatantra, where someone is carrying a goat on his shoulder, and someone says, "Oh, why are you carrying a dog?" And he says, "Oh, you must be mad." And after some time, he says, "Oh, why are you carrying a donkey on your shoulder?" And then later he says, "Why are you carrying a calf on your shoulder?" And after some time, he thinks, when three people ask like that, he thinks, maybe what I think as a goat is probably a ghost which can change forms. So he throws that goat away and runs. And those three people, they take that goat and go away. So he's thinking, are they just playing a prank on us? They're calling this person apapeshu. Where punishment is unnecessarily being given, vrita. Vrita means useless or improper or unnecessarily given. Adandyeshu, who is not fit to be punished at all. If they say that it is too heavy a punishment for this sin, it's okay. You know, there is some scope for negotiation. They say adandyeshu, apapeshu, like that. Vrita driyate, like that they are speaking. So Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, "Ah, we know that you are servants of Yama, but why do you speak such nonsense? We can understand that the authority of this king of dharma to be of opposite quality, that is expressed in this verse. We have never heard such facts till now. What will happen to the people by such injustice?" They may say, "Who are you to criticize? What are you criticizing? Tell clearly. Whom are you talking about? Are we talking about the same person or different person?" They said, "Please listen what we say. Adharma is contaminating the assembly of those who judge dharma. Desi dharma sadharma. In this assembly, punishment is allotted to persons without sin, who should not be punished. The assembly is displaying adharma. This is our conclusion."
Can someone read?
"The Vishnu Dutas accused the Yam Dutas of violating the religious principles by attempting to drag Ajamil to Yamraj for punishment. Yamraj is the officer appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to judge religious and irreligious principles and to punish people who are irreligious. However, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamraj is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamraj, but throughout human society also. In human society, properly maintaining religious principles is the duty of the king's court or the government. Unfortunately, in this yuga, Kali Yuga, the religious people are tampered with and the government cannot properly judge who is to be punished and who is not. It is said that in the Kali Yuga, if one cannot spend money in the court, one cannot get justice."
Prabhupada is telling 50 years back. Now you can imagine.
Indeed, in courts of justice, it is often found that magistrates are bribed for favorable judgments. Sometimes religious men who preach the Krishna conscious movement for the benefit of entire populace are arrested and harassed by the police and the courts. The Vishnudutas who are Vaishnavas lamented for these very regrettable facts. Because of their spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaishnavas go out to preach according to the standard method of all religious principles. But unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, Vaishnavas are not dedicated their lives to preaching the Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord are sometimes harassed and punished by the courts on the false charges of disturbing the peace.
So many places. But of course, the person who is being discussed here right now is not it's Ajamil. That's why it's little controversial.
प्रजानां पितरो ये च शास्तारः साधवः समाः यदि स्यात् तेषु वैषम्यं कम्यान्ति शरणं प्रजाः.
ये प्रजानां पितरः, दोज़ आर मेंट टू बी फादर्स, फादर फिगर्स ऑफ सिटिजन्स, शास्तारः दे मस्ट बी इंस्ट्रक्टर्स, साधवः एंडोर्ड विथ प्रॉपर कैरेक्टर, समाः एंड दे मस्ट बी equipoised in happiness and distress. Yadi syat teshu vaishamyam, if they show exactly opposite qualities, kamyanti sharanam prajaha, where will the citizens go for protection? In today's day and age, actually the most corrupt people are probably police only. So people are more afraid of police than actually thieves and rogues. Probably you can have some dialogue with thieves and rogues and say, "Baba, main mujhe harass mat karo, aapko jo chahe de deta hun." But with police, you know, to what extent they will go and put you behind bars for no reason, you know, you can't imagine. So they are most scary people. So they say, please listen, we have heard that your master is a protector who implements laws, possesses good qualities and is equal to all. Yamaraj is in that category. Why has this now become untrue? The leader should be a father showing affection. He should be an instructor of laws to teach dharma. He should be proper in character to benefit all people. He should be equal, taking his own happiness and distress equally. The opposite is a protector who gives suffering to the people, who, though a teacher, does not teach dharma to his servants, who, though of proper character, does not act for everyone's benefit, and though equipoised, is ignorant of others' suffering. This is a disaster for the public and intolerable for us. They are adding agony and intrigue into the minds of the Yamadutas. They are not speaking in direct words. They are just going on criticizing without telling what the problem is. Yeah, can someone read? Third.
The king, or in modern times the government, should act as a guardian for citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for realization of oneself and one's relationship with Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this cannot be realized in animal life, the duty of government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that by gradual process they will be elevated to the spiritual platform and will realize the self and his relationship with God. This principle was followed by kings like Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Ramchandra, Maharaj Amrish and Prahlad Maharaj.
What is Prabhupada talking about here?
Protection. Citizen. They should teach.
And instructors. Shastara. Yeah. Instructors of Dharma.
The leaders of the government must be very honest and religious, because otherwise all the affairs of the state will suffer.
Now what is Prabhupada talking about? Sadhavaha.
Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important post in the governments. Recently, this has been proven in America. I learned. Where the president had to be condemned and dragged down from his post by the citizens. That Nixon only, he was killed. Huh? This is only one case, but there are many others. Because of the importance of the Krishna conscious movement, people should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Then there will be actual peace and prosperity in the state. When a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Krishna conscious movement.
So Prabhupada says, don't be careless to what's happening around. You have to be very much concerned, but show your concern by spreading Krishna consciousness. It is Prabhupada's policy. Don't be careless to what's happening around. Same thing is happening again and again, whether you know the details or not. You don't need to know the details of corruption, but corruption is happening in general, we all know. And the solution Prabhupada says, but show your concern by spreading Krishna consciousness. Beyond that, we don't have to do anything.
These statements are coming from Vishnu Dutas, because they have full faith on the potency of the holy name, and also that they completely forgot his background, but I was just thinking that when it comes to me, that when I know some background of some devotee, that before Krishna consciousness, still we see in that perspective, but their dialogues are completely is this due to the faith on the process, or what can be done, how to see devotees in spite of knowing their background?
See, one thing is, in spite of knowing their background, if we judge, it is actually an indication of our lack of faith in the process only. Then which means we don't have full faith that the process will work on me also. Because we are not able to believe that the process will work on him, which means, how can you simultaneously believe that the process will very quickly work on me, but it will never work on him? It is not possible. Basically, then which means it indicates our lack of faith in the process only. So therefore we have to see who has not come to Krishna consciousness with past baggage. So, therefore we have to, if we have genuine concern, facilitate his practice, facilitate so that he can practice more sincerely. And very quickly he will overcome, because the process is potent. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati. Kaunte pratijane hi name bhakta pranashati. This is one of the most forceful statements that that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita actually. You go and proclaim, he's telling Arjuna,
Which other statement in Bhagavad Gita where he says with so much force? So how much more guarantee or do we need? Like that.
Yadyat acharati shreyan itarastat tadihate sayat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvartate. Same words.
So, but spoken in a little critical way. If you act like this, then common people will also follow your principle. How is your master acting like this? Or are you not properly understanding your master's intent? You are acting on your way, your own way. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanu vartate. Whatever he sets as standard, the people follow. Or whatever he accepts as pramana, people follow.
So therefore,
he says that you should be more responsible. So they are indicating that the path of dharma will be very quickly covered up if you people are acting like this and setting the wrong pramana. Like that. One can read. He's saying to Yamdutas. Nay, when people sometimes come to know through that by performing sinful act, that even though you are,
I was punished though I performed dharma.
Then people will not be feeling inspired to perform proper dharma. So how can you set this kind of example by punishing such dharmic souls like Ajamil, like that? Yeah, who will read?
Although Ajamila was not punishable, the Yamdutas were insisting on taking him away to Yamraj for punishment. This was adharma, contrary to religious principles. The Vishnudutas feared that if such irreligious acts were allowed, the management of human society would be spoiled. In modern times, the Krishna conscious movement is trying to introduce the right principles of management for human society. But unfortunately, the governments of Kali Yuga do not properly support the Hare Krishna movement because they do not appreciate its valuable service. The Hare Krishna movement is the right movement for ameliorating the fallen condition of human society, and therefore governments and public leaders in every part of the world should support this movement to completely rectify humanity's sinful condition.
Yes.
Many purports we see that Prabhupada gives a solution to practical problems or some government and to all that, that the only solution is the Krishna consciousness movement. But we see that even in our own movement, we see that it's not so speaker. The way like that. So how where we are lacking? So we see that Prabhupada's solution to Krishna, all the problems in the even the material world outside.
Yeah, I will rephrase your question.
Okay.
Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is the solution for outside political problems, but within Krishna consciousness movement only there is strong politics.
Yeah, but there is problem in management. We will
tease
the proper management.
Same solution. Lack of Krishna consciousness will lead to such issues.
But we hear that the people involved are very exalted. So, and we hear that that no, no, we will, it's just the part of the part of this Kali Yuga and material world means there will be so much problems. Like we hear this statement.
See, definitely certain principles we probably would have not properly followed. Like, you know, people involved in management should definitely come together to not just for management but for some common core spiritual activities like dancing together in kirtan or sitting together and discussing Krishna Katha without any agenda. So when that kind of a culture is there, then definitely you know, to a large extent this can be adjusted actually. But the more one goes higher up, the more they become busy with other things, then for all the right reasons they don't have time for this. So definitely but then the consequences will be there. So this is one thing. There could be many other things also.
We are like attending the many meetings. We are attending many meetings like all in GBCs and like that level of meetings. So we come to conclusion that we are not just Krishna conscious. If you become Krishna conscious, most of problems will be solved.
Most important strategy is Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious. Yeah, but most of the times because management means lot of control is involved. Therefore, I mean, one of the main issues is where there is control, either of resources or of people, a facilitating body invariably becomes a controlling body. Because it is natural, like for example, something like counselor system, you can say. It's actually a facilitating body created to facilitate. But then, if you see that, you know, congregation devotees, their first initiation, second initiation, you know, many of their so-called spiritual milestones is all there in the counselor's hands. So the point is, even though the person may not feel sufficiently nourished in the association of the counselor, he may not feel like, you know, the counseling meetings may not be so nourishing, but still, because the official tag is there, he has to go. And the counselor also may not genuinely be seeing that, you know, what would best facilitate a spiritual life. Rather, because control of human resources is actually a very satisfying thing, at least on a lower level. So in this way, systems become corrupt where there is scope for control. When it is there, every facilitating body invariably wants to tends to become a controlling body. You have departments like, and of course, you know, in everyone's personal experience you may have, but the purpose for which these facilities were created were with absolutely noble intent actually. Whether it is the counselor system or congregational development body or whatever, these are all created to facilitate the Krishna consciousness of people. But then when people see a scope for control, then the natural tendency to, it is just like you are put in a situation where you are surrounded by a beautiful woman. you know, even though you want to be Krishna conscious, but you know the temptation is always there. So similarly, you know, these kind of things where people come to voluntarily surrender, and suddenly, for not that the person was suddenly, you know, 10, 15, 20 people with apparently no real, you know, much investment, suddenly, you know, you get an opportunity to control, even though you are not expected to control, you are expected to facilitate. But control is easy, to facilitate needs lot of time actually. Time, energy and genuine concern and compassion is needed. But control is quite easy actually. You press the button and say make rules, press the button and things get done. It's much more easy to do. So it is quite natural, and these are in one sense, you know, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, the it's a necessary evil. It is necessary. We can't live and progress without an institution, especially in Kali Yuga. But then it has its own evil side also. The point is, if you realize, you know, where all I can slip and create an evil out of the system, then we remain cautious, and at least if possible, try to be part of a solution. If not possible, at least don't try to become a part of the problem. That much we can be cautious. Individually we can do. We can't speak for everyone, but individually we can do. Because any facilitating body definitely has a scope for becoming a controlling body, and things will deteriorate at that time. So that's why regular education and reminding, frequent reminders of what we are here for, what is our purpose, such nourishment is very important every time and again, so that we remain focused, we understand what our role is, we respect our roles and responsibilities very clearly. Is it okay? Okay.
यस्यां केशर आधाय लोकस्वपिति निर्वृतः स्वयं धर्मम् अधर्मम् वा नहि वेद यथा पशुः सकतम् न्यर्पितात्मानम् कृतमैत्रम् अचेतनम् विश्रम्भणीयो भूतानां सगृणो दोग्धुमर्हति.
He says, the common people, like animals sleeping peacefully with their heads on the lap of the master. You know, if you go to our Goshala, at least when some of the bulls, really powerful bulls, at least when they were young, of late I have also a little bit lost touch. You go there, Balai and few others are there. You go sit there, where they are sitting, you go and sit and you start brushing them. They will put their head on your lap and you brush them. Within 60 seconds, they will start snoring. Literally, they snore. They snore with their eyes closed, and then keep brushing them like that. So, he says that the common people, like animals sleeping peacefully with their heads on the lap of the master, do not know dharma and adharma. They don't know what is dharma and adharma. But how can the compassionate leader, who should have the trust of all beings, give pain to those who have surrendered in friendship and have developed and have undeveloped consciousness? Who is to be held responsible? Common people. The leader. The leader should know. How can with all good faith, the animal is sleeping peacefully on the lap of his master. How can he take a knife and cut the throat of that same animal which has reposed all his trust? Now they are really making them feel guilty. अरे अजामिल का इतना लंबा चौड़ा स्टोरी बताया फिर भी हमको क्रिटिसाइज कर रहा है, मतलब दिस इज लाइक रियली कंफ्यूजिंग बिकॉज दे आर रेजिंग द बार वन आफ्टर अनदर सिवियरली क्रिटिकल. You are breaching the trust. You are like like that they are really criticizing them. Because of the betrayal of trust, we speak of further adharma. This is expressed in two verses. Nyarpitatmanam means to the person who has completely offered himself. Why should he trust the leader? The leader should be worthy of being trusted and should be compassionate to all beings.
The Sanskrit word Vishvastaghata refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. We actually saw during the partition days in India that although Hindus and Muslims were living together peacefully, manipulations by politicians suddenly aroused feelings of hatred between them, and thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In this age, animals are kept nicely sheltered, completely confident that their masters will protect them. But unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they are immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by the Vaishnavas like Vishnudutas. Indeed, the hellish conditions already described await the sinful men responsible for their suffering.
Like Prabhupada writes that we actually saw during the partition days that in India, although Hindus and Muslims are living together peacefully, manipulation by politicians suddenly aroused feelings of hatred between them, and thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. Sometimes we also keep discussing about, you know, look how these, what these Muslims are doing, what they are discussing, you know, what they are plotting, what they are doing, and all that unnecessarily agitating and creating a sense of hatred, while most people, most common people might actually be innocent to some extent. At the most they may be victims of their own leaders who may be agitating them in that way, and we are also getting victimized in the same way. Rather, if we don't hear all these things, then at least with a neutral mind, we will behave with them at least in a human way or a gentlemanly way. Then there is a good chance that they will get some sukriti and take up to the process. Otherwise, unnecessarily we are creating a sense of division, and it becomes quite unpleasant actually. So many practitioners of other faith, including the Islamic faith, have taken up to Krishna consciousness because someone dealt with them in a nice way without seeing them as terrorists or something like that. So Prabhupada clearly says that this unnecessary hatred was created by politicians. So therefore we have to be careful.
Yeah. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful, because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government. All of human society is terribly contaminated. The people of this age are therefore described as Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagya Upadrutaha. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned manda, their intelligence is unclear sumanda mataya, they are unfortunate manda bhagya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems upadrutaha. This is their situation in this life, and after death they are punished in hellish conditions.
So now, after sufficiently confusing the Yamadutas, now they are going to give some clarification. And this is going to be a very elaborate clarification. They are going to tell, you didn't know the potency of the holy name. That's what they are going to discuss now. Yes.
Sometimes among some fellow devotees, there will be some conflict. So one way it is responsibility to previously...
One way
it is responsibility to previously have the knowledge, or that the way some quarrels doesn't appear, but it may be the part of it may be the creation of their own things, or how much leader should be responsible for the conflicts arising in the devotee circle.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, Prabhupada is telling in Parapotna. Sometimes, because leaders are not properly trained, the common people then right, they have the quarrels.
Correct.
So sometimes it may come from among the common people only. So
in that case, the leader actually does not have an influence over the common people. That's what it means. Or the leader has not created proper programs to educate and train the common people. So in that case, if the leader cannot say, oh, if common people do, how am I responsible? Then why are you the leader? So, which means you don't have any influence over them. So that way, leader also should take responsibility.
We see that sometime we see that in our life that when we had some controllership mental post or something like that, we also have, not we, I misuse that, but that time it appears appropriate, that time. But after some years, when we grow, and then we feel it was too heavy or like that.
So that'll always happen. But many things, many of our mistakes, we learn in retrospect only. That is a part of maturity.
So can you bring that?
Because if at that stage, even if we had been told, because we lack that kind of maturity to understand such statements, we lack the experience also, so it would not make sense. So certain things, why, despite taking all precautions, certain things, it is a fact that we will definitely learn in retrospect only, and we can't do much about it. One thing is to develop trust in other mature, well-intentioned senior devotees and accept, so that we don't always have to learn it in retrospect and regret later. That is one thing we can do.
Because we always see that no matter which decision one takes, we always see that liberal and conservative. Always there, oh, this is too heavy or this is too liberal.
Yeah.
So there is no barometer, there is no standard for this, like that.
See, eventually history has shown the liberals, well-intentioned liberals, always regretted their being too liberal and adjusted the course little bit. And very well-intentioned conservatives understood their being very conservative and adjusted their course. there is good history to learn. So time will teach its valuable lesson, and over a period of time, you know, people will. But of course, the most important part is well intentioned. If you have good intention, then from both sides, people realize that okay, we just pushed it beyond limits. So let's get it back to the limits. Both parties feel, and they come.
But in the course of matter, some people get affected, the victims. So can we understand that? So when a victim comes to us, that he say that I was too much, like someone was telling that he was mistreated by his project leader. That he was reading one book which was helpful in, and that leader came and he literally threw from his hand. He felt so bad, and within 1-2 months he left also, with different reason, left voice. And the same leader who threw that book, he told me later.
He started reading my book.
He said, "Arey, I shot him many times unnecessary like that." So I was just thinking that both the parties, well, he felt that he behaved too arrogantly. But my question was that, so can we tell this to this devotee who was victim, that this was part of your purification?
No. Why don't, if you know both the stories, why don't you facilitate their meeting and let that person only tell?
That I did. but many times it happens that we cannot do this, that sometimes we see that he's being mistreated by his superiors, and the superior is
convinced that I'm doing
the right thing. So can we conclude that this person has to go to that struggle?
No. Why don't you give him love?
After it is done, in that course of matter, means we see that also, when that person, like one devotee was removed from voice only, and he was told to go to hostel, though he was very sincere, genuine. But after, when he came back, he was crying, and he was telling that, you know, I was put into the void just for this reason. The reason was not this, because, you know, I was mistreated. But in the course of matter, we could observe that after coming back, he became much, much more higher, refined Vaishnava than I felt. That earlier he was really troublesome, but now after this punishment, genuine life, I feel that now he became like the loved by everyone, because he went through so much struggle, whereas he was the same devotee. So, point I'm making is that, can we say that it was a part of his purification?
It is true. But we don't always have to be the instruments of other people's purification. I mean, especially if we know that we are overdoing, and also to attribute causality, you know, that this was the cause of his becoming refined also, may be right, may not be right, because it could. You might have gone to hostel and probably left Krishna consciousness. I don't know. See, certain people have to be shown the door. I am not against it. But the point is, if while it is being done, if we know that the person, the leader is overdoing or over punishing, then we can always, if we have a friendship with that leader, we can always, it's too much, don't do it so much. Or while that person is in hostel, we can at least show our love and ensure that he is being taken care of. That much we can do. If speaking to the leader and changing his decision is difficult, then always, you know, that you can always do as a Vaishnava, you can do.
Question, when Maharaj was telling that how other Vaishnavas dealt with Kal Krishnadas, sometime it is seen that the leader have taken decision that he should be rejected, like that. But when we go out of the way and do something and someone observes, they feel that he's, what you call, like the group may feel that he's going against the authority. He's going.
See, these things will have to be done with little sensitivity. You try to understand what exactly the leader has told. He has told, get out of the voice. He has not told, you should never associate with Vaishnavas, you should never eat prasadam, you should never chant the holy name. If there is some leader who has told that, then he needs serious counseling and training. So, all he has told is, go away from voice. Fine, you are not taking him into your voice. He is still staying in hostel. You are just assisting him by giving him from some prasadam. Isn't the prasadam potent enough to change the heart of a person? Ultimately, he was sent out because his heart needs to be changed. So, prasadam and some affection by Vaishnavas will certainly change the person's heart. But otherwise, if the leader does not understand, then probably it is just a plain ego issue. I sent him out and you you are not taking him into voice. In that way you are not diluting the standards. But you are just being nice to him. Is it like, oh, voice mein rahega to sab kuch milega, nahi hai to main dekh lunga, you know that you suffer. Is that our approach? So you can be nice. What is wrong in that?
In that case, I think Chaitanya Prabhu, if you approach me again, I will leave Jagannath Puri.
Oh, that Gopinath Patnaik.
Okay,
that thing. Yeah, and to set the example, how important it is to follow the social etiquettes and moral rules also properly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that stance, but you know, there is always an insight into the story which is brought out by the Acharyas, where, you know, through some statements which could have multiple meanings, he also sort of accepted Gopinath Patnaik back. And he never, any time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his followers, you also should never speak with him and never interact with him. How come not in any one of these pastimes, neither in Gopinath Patnaik's case, Chota Haridas' case, Kal Krishnadas' case, why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even once made a statement telling that you people stay away from this person? Never said. While he himself had to take a stance to set the topmost standard of, you know, what is the standard. But he left, so that lesson he gave through his own conduct, but he allowed the Vaishnavas to set the example through their conduct as to what is the responsibility of a Vaishnava community. So both lessons, through his own conduct he set one standard, through the conduct of his devotees he set another standard, like that.
His fellow devotees or other, if they don't have a training, like he has to take such decision, but he cannot directly deal. So can he tell others to deal with the other person then?
Yeah, he can. Okay. So we are going to discuss this section on Vishnu Dutas glorify the holy name. Today, because it is elaborate cooking, is it going to be late prasadam? Can you just ask what time is prasadam? Accordingly, we will they will
Sachi Sutta Ashtakam will take 15 minutes.
Okay. And so we will factor in all of that, just tell, because after one or two verses there is one of the very, very long purports which will need lot of time to read, discuss. So that's why I am asking 15 minutes. So we will pause here. Do such a.
It is 9-10 verses. It will have to be long purpose.
So 7-8 we will do. And then 15 minutes Sachi Sutta Ashtakam. Right? Okay. अयम हि कृत निर्वेशो जन्मकोट्यं हसामपि यद्व्याजहार विवशो नामस्वस्त्ययनं हरेः. दिस पर्सन कृत निर्वेशो, दैट मीन ही हैज परफॉर्मड अटोनमेंट. जन्मकोटि अमहसाम अपि फॉर द सिंस ऑफ 10 मिलियन बर्थ्स. Now this is another shocking thing. When did he do? Vivasho Vyajahara. The moment he helplessly chanted or spontaneously chanted Harehe Swastyayanam Nama, the most auspicious name of Lord Hari, the moment he spontaneously chanted that name, not only has he atoned for the sins committed in this life, but sins committed in 10 million lives. So here the Yamadutas say, you castigate us, but what offenses have we and our master committed in taking away Ajamil to purify him? Since he has performed no atonements for over 1,000 great sins that he has committed. So the Vishnudutas say, he has certainly performed atonement not only for the sins of one life, but for 10,000 lives, since he has chanted the name of the Lord even though it was done unconsciously. The Smritis say, Namno hi yavati shakti पाप निर्हरणे हरेहे तावत् कर्तुम न शक्नोति पातकं पातकी नरः. A sinful man cannot commit as many sins as can be destroyed by the power of the Lord's name. अवशेनापि यन्नाम्नि कीर्तिते सर्व पातकैः पुमान विमुच्यते सद्य सिंहत्रस्तैर् मृगैरिव. A human is freed from all sins when he chants the Lord's name even unconsciously. The sins flee like animals frightened of a lion. Simmatrastair mrigair iva. Okay. Sakrit uccharitam yena harir iti aksharam dvayam baddha parikarastena mokshaya gamanam prati. Sakrit uccharitam, even once if one chants harir iti aksharam dvayam, the two syllables ha and ri, hari, baddha parikaras tena mokshaya gamanam prati, he at once becomes fit for attaining liberation. Like that. Of course Prabhupada also quotes the same verses in his purport. He says the Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamil. That was the problem. They thought no karmakandi atonement has been made, which Parikshit Maharaj rejected. But atonement is not just one type. Since he was extremely sinful throughout his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraj and did not know that he had become free from the reactions of all his sins. The Vishnudutas therefore instructed that because he had chanted the four syllables of the name Narayan at the time of death, he was free from all sinful reactions. And then he quotes the same verses that Srila Vishnu Acharya quotes.
etenaiva hya gonosya kritam syat aganishkritam yada narayana yeti jagada chaturaksharam. Yada jagada etena chaturaksharam, when he chanted these four syllables narayanaya iti, narayana aganishkritam, atonement. Aga nishkritam means atonement for his sins. Asya kritam ahona, for the sins that he had committed. Syad has already been accomplished when he chanted Narayan. So they may say, but Ajamil did not chant with awareness that this was atonement. He did not know that this was atonement. He called out for his son because he was afraid of us. When he saw us, he became so scared, he called out for his son. He did not chant for atonement. So they say, the Vishnudutta say, you do not understand the truth. Being materialistic, why you do not understand? Because you people are materialistic, therefore you do not understand the truth. Even by calling for his son, while not seeking to make atonement of the sinner was automatically accomplished. Just chanting at this time for his son is the atonement for all his sins. However, previously he chanted in ungrammatical language. Oh Narayan, come here from your mother's lap to my lap, like that. Vishnudutta sir, however, previously he chanted in ungrammatical language. Even before, at that last minute calling Narayan, even before that he was chanting, Narayan come here, Narayan take food, Narayan sit on my lap, like that. So, which means, ungrammatical language means probably he was not even pronouncing the whole name. For a child, like my cousin brother's name is Narayan. We used to call him in all kinds of Nari, Naru and all those things. If it is in Marathi, Narya. The atonement took place then. Not only chanting four syllables, but chanting the Lord's name in two syllables or one syllable also destroys all sins. So, someone can read.
Previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamila chanted the name of Narayan without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord,
see,
just
to
counter...
The understanding of offenses is very relative. The understanding of offenses depends on one's adhikar actually. Like for example, 10 offenses ka 10 ka 10 offenses sabko lagu nahi hai. Ye jo, these 10 offenses are meant for practitioners of pure devotional service. That does not, okay, which means, let's say for 4 of the offenses are not applicable for person with some other adhikar. What it means is, he won't get Krishna prem. See, some are universal offenses. Like for example, criticizing to blaspheme a devotee. This is true for everyone. You know, people of all adhikar have to follow this. To not commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Everyone should do it. Okay, but maintaining material attachments. This is relaxed for a mixed devotee. Because he has material, what to speak of maintaining material attachments, he is worshipping the Lord for fulfilling his material attachments. So if he performs this, so this is not an offense for him, then we will say this is unfair. Now why is it unfair? Because he is not going to get Krishna prem. He will get the result of what he is aspiring, he will get the material benefit. So therefore, because he is getting something very inferior, Therefore, that one offense is not applicable for him. So, for a mixed devotee, you cannot say to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this, which means problem is with you. You gave him such instructions without his having the qualification, which means you committed the ninth offense to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. That you should not have done. The problem is with you, not with him. You understood his deep attachment. Narada Muni to some extent told, you know, you are just a child, you know, you can't be. But when he understood that Dhruva Maharaj was very clear, he left that line of argument only. He said, okay, let me give you a way by which you can achieve your desire, you can fulfill your desire. So, you can't insist on certain rules when you don't see the qualification in that person. So, of these 10 offenses, some of the offenses are not applicable for some people actually. It is not an offense. So, the credit of Ajamil was, he didn't chant that holy name of Narayan, even though he was calling for his son. He didn't intend to exchange that chanting with destruction of his sins or saving him from his death or anything like that. He just chanted Sanketyam. What is the credit of these four people, Sanketya, Parihasya, Stoba and Helana? Not just ignorance. These four people did not chant in order to get some material benefits. So that is their credit. I will chant and get something. That crookedness was not there. And nor they were committing Namno Balad Yasehi Papa Buddhi. Because they don't know Namno Balad only. They don't know the power of the holy name also. So that is one credit also for them. Certain people. So like that, these 10 offenses you can say are all these 10 plus the 11 inattentive chanting. These 11 out of 11 are applicable only for practitioners of pure devotional service who are aspiring after Krishna prema. But if someone is aspiring for a lower goal but still practicing mixed devotional service, some of these offenses do not apply to them. It is not an offense if they chant with material attachment. Like that. Yeah, can you continue?
To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities or to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name is offensive. Namno balat yasehi papa buddhihi. But although Ajamila engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayan to counteract
them. This is the main point.
He simply chanted the name Narayana to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayan in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning, he was pure, but although he later committed many sinful acts, he was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayana to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamila was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayan, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son, the name itself was effective.
Of course, little more clarification will come through the next purport of Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur. Prabhupada does not write a single line purport for one of the longest purports written by Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur. Generally, it's the other way around. When Vishnachakaya Thakur has a one-line purport, Prabhupada has 2-3 page purports. Sometimes for those verses for which Vishnachakaya Thakur does not give any purport, Prabhupada gives 5-6 page purports. But in this case, Vishnu Jagadakur gives almost like a 10 page purport, and Prabhupada does not have even one line explanation. But you know what Prabhupada does? Towards the end of the chapter, Prabhupada adds an appendix and he summarizes Vishnu Jagadakur's commentary. Because so elaborate it is, Prabhupada actually just summarizes that commentary. But it will be very nourishing to go through the next purport. So we will pause here and continue this discussion about Vishnudutta's glorification of the holy name post prasadam. So we will